Philippians chapter 2, look if you would at verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the basic teaching here of these verses is how to surrender your thinking to God and how to allow God to take control of your mind. As Christians, we should think according to what the Bible says. Amen? Because, you know, the world has its way of thinking. And the people of the world, you know, they think things. I mean, we all know that they consider that which is wrong right and that which is right wrong. And so the truth is, because of there are a lot of Christians today who have been caught up in this worldly thinking and having this worldly mindset to the point to where, be honest with you, some of the lost people are looking at Christians and thinking we're idiots. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. There was a time, if you remember in the news a while back, about a lady who made a cheese sandwich, and she claimed that the face of the Virgin Mary was in her cheese sandwich. How many of you remember that? Okay. Or the guy who found a half-melted M&M and said that it contained the face of Jesus. Things like that. You know, you say, well, what are people thinking? I mean, people traveled miles and miles to come see a cheese sandwich and a half-melted M&M. I mean, you think about that. That's the way people are, okay? And the problem is there are a lot of Christians and people that are not Christians who proclaim to be Christians who just don't think right. They just don't think right. They do not have biblical thinking, and certainly they do not have a biblical worldview. And we need to think the way God wants us to think as Christians. And we need to look at things the way the Bible has it, the way the Bible says things are, the way God looks at things. You know, we're never going to have, we're never going to have the thoughts of God. For his thoughts are not our thoughts, okay? But the more we grow, does it make sense that we should start to view things the way God views them? And we should start to see things clearly for the way the Bible says that things are? Do you realize that many Christians today are not doing that? There are many Christians today who still see things the way the world sees them. They look at things through the world's eyes rather than through God's eyes and through the Bible, you know, through the way that what the Bible says about things. And so, in fact, you have Christians today who've even come to the point where they think it's wrong for Christians to judge things. Do you realize that almost all the New Testament is telling you to judge things? We're to judge whether things are right or whether they're wrong, not based on what we think, but according to what the Bible says is right or wrong. Amen? That's what we're to do. But there are Christians, they say, no, you shouldn't judge. Judge not, you be not judged. And they keep on wanting to throw that verse in your face without reading the rest of it when it's talking about judging with righteous judgment and taking care of the problems you have before you start finding fault with other people. Okay, that's what the context is. And so you have a lot of people today that have a lot of Christians today that have a worldview rather than a biblical view of things. Now, what I want to do tonight is to start this thing off, I want to give you some questions. In fact, 8 questions. Now, I do not want you to blurt out your answers. I want you to answer them to yourself, okay? And it has to do with your beliefs. And again, it's a yes or no answer. Really, it's a yes or no answer. And you don't have to pass this in order to go to heaven. You don't have to, you know, there's not going to be swapping tests at the end. I just want you to answer them to yourself, okay? And this is so that you can admit to yourself what you really believe. Now, here are the questions. Number 1, do absolute moral truths exist? Number 2, is absolute truth defined by the Bible? Number 3, Did Jesus Christ live a sinless life? Number four, is God all-powerful and all-knowing, the creator of the universe? Number five, is salvation a gift from God that cannot be earned? Number six, is Satan real? Number seven, does a Christian have a responsibility to share his faith in Christ with other people? And then the last one, is the Bible accurate in all of its teachings? Now those are the eight questions. And if you answered yes to all eight questions, then I will tell you that you probably have a biblical worldview, if you answered yes to all those questions. If you did not answer yes to all those questions, that does not mean that you're a bad person. It just means that you don't have a view that would be called a purely biblical worldview, okay? Now, we all have a worldview to an extent, because the world's view is a way of looking at the bigger picture of life. In other words, we know how the world operates, and we know, you know, how things are ran. But, you know, you can either have the view of the world the way the world sees it, which is the worldly view, or you can have a view of the world the way God sees it, which is the biblical view. Now, you may be wondering what are some of the world views today that are amongst people, and I'll just list a couple of them for you. Number one, you have what's called deism, and that is the belief that there is a God, but he's uninterested in our lives, kind of like a watchmaker who created the world, wound it up, and just walked away because he had something else to do. That is basically what deism is. It's these people who believe that that there is some kind of God up there, but he's chosen not to be bothered by the mundane details of our life. You hear people say a lot of times, well, I believe in a higher power. That's kind of a deism type of view. Another common worldview is what's called humanism. And humanism, most atheists and agnostics are humanist. And they believe that this world is all that there is. And if there's anything wrong, the humans have to fix it, because the humans are the one who broke it. And some of the famous humanists that have been living, or who have been alive, obviously, is Bertrand Russell was a humanist. Karl Marx, the father of communism, was a humanist. But the most prevalent worldview in America today is called postmodernism. And postmodernism believes that your God exists if you believe he exists. In other words, to a postmodernist, who God is to you may not be who God is to me. And they say, well, that's okay. In other words, you know, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, and if you believe a God, then that God exists to you. And if I don't believe a God, or if I believe that there's a different type of God, and I believe he exists to me, that's great. That's called the most postmodernist view. And so worldly views basically consist of those three and a few others. But when you have a biblical worldview, your view of the world is based on what the Bible says. And when you have a biblical worldview, you filter everything or every news report, everything that you hear and everything that you see through what the Bible says. In other words, you filter it through that biblical worldview. For instance, when you see wars in Afghanistan, or if you see, like this past week, I don't know if you watched it on the news or not, but you had North Korea and they fired some shots over the DMZ over at the you know, the office or the guard shack over here, and they responded by firing shots back. You know, when you watch things like that, if you got a biblical worldview, then you watch the news through the filter of a biblical worldview, understanding that God is on the throne, understanding that nothing happens without God's approval to allow it to happen. Not saying he approves of it, but he has to allow it to happen. Understanding that there is evil in this world, and there are principalities and powers in the world today. That's a biblical worldview, okay? That's so when we're watching the news and you see people doing things that are wicked, a biblical worldview says that person's lost, that person's been blinded by the devil, and he doesn't understand spiritual things. That's a biblical worldview. Now, the question is tonight is, do many Christians today have a biblical worldview? Now, I'm talking about Christians now. Do they have a biblical worldview? Well, a couple of years ago, Barna Research Organization interviewed several thousand Americans in the 48 lower states to find out their religious beliefs. And they asked them the same eight questions that I asked you, the exact same eight questions. Only 4% of Americans interviewed said yes to all those questions. Now here's one that you really like. Only 7% of those who claim to be born-again Christians answered yes to all those questions. When it comes to Protestant pastors, only 51% of those interviewed answered yes to all eight questions. Of Baptist pastors, only 71% answered yes to all those questions, and that was the highest percentage. The lowest percentage amongst pastors was United Methodist pastors at 27% said yes to all of those. That's the state of Christianity today. Let me ask you something. Do you think those eight questions were hard questions? Do you think they were pretty obvious? I mean, if you read your Bible at all, you would have to say that those questions are pretty obvious, because every one of those questions can be found in your Bible to be yes. Every one of them can. But yet there are people today professing to be Christians who did not say yes to all those. And so what does that tell you? That tells you that there are a lot of Christians today who do not have a biblical worldview. And that's scary, folks, because those 51% of pastors, they're behind pulpits. Those 71% of Baptist pastors are behind pulpits, and they're preaching and teaching to people those things. And we wonder why our country is getting worse and worse. We wonder why things are becoming more accepted in our society. The truth is, we need a generation of Christians of all ages to start developing a biblical worldview. Jesus said this in Matthew 22:37. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And it's a tragic thing that people come to church every Sunday, but their minds are in neutral. It's also a tragic thing if you think about how many people who say they're Christians don't even come to church anymore. Why? Because they don't have a biblical worldview. They don't. And the truth is, the truth about God should infuse every one of our areas of our lives, and we need to have a biblical view about everything. Now, how do we get this biblical worldview? Well, to develop a biblical worldview, we must do two things. Number one, we must read our Bible. Amen? I mean, hey, listen, how could you possibly have a biblical worldview if you never read the Bible, if you don't know what it says, if you don't rightly divide the scriptures, if you don't study, if you don't hide God's word in your heart? How could you possibly have a worldview? How could you possibly know what God thinks about this abomination or that abomination or this sin or that sin? How could you possibly know that if you don't read your Bible? How could you possibly fear God if you don't read your Bible? I mean, the thing about it is somebody is going to, I mean, if you think about those types of worldviews that we looked at a while ago, those people who say, "Well, I believe that God's up there, but I don't think he really cares." Or this person over here says, "Well, you know, I have God the way I think God is, and you have God the way you think God is, and that's okay." If that's the God that Christians are trusting in today, who have not read their Bible, how in the world could they possibly teach the Word of God when they don't even fear God themselves and they don't even know who God is? Do you realize that there are a lot of Christians today who've been to church for years and years, and they still don't realize that the God of the Old Testament, who said, "Go in and wipe every one of those people out, to include Agag their king," is the same God that you worship today? How could they possibly know that if they haven't been reading their Bible? You see, today people have come up with this thing where they have God the way they want God to be, based on themselves, based on saying, "Well, you know, if I could pick a God, this is the way I would want him to be, therefore that's the way God is." That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God of the Bible. And so Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith thee, but his heart is not with thee." In other words, we are to have the Word of God in our heart. We're to hide the Word of God in our heart. We're to study. We're to read. That's the reason why when preachers get up and say, "Hey, read your Bible, spend time in the book, go home and read this passage, Come to church and hear the preaching. Whatever it takes, hear preaching and get the Word of God in you, because that is going to affect the way you look at things. How many of you understand what I'm talking about tonight? That is going to affect the way you look at everything. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." How in the world are you going to know if it's a sin or not unless you read the Bible? Okay? You have to read it. Now, in the Bible, the word heart occurs over 800 times. And the word heart doesn't refer to that little muscle in your chest that beats. It's referring to your mind, which is the control center of your life. And you become what you think about the most. That's the reason why it's so important for us to surrender our thinking to the Lord. We must guard our mind. We must be careful about what we think. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." How you live begins with what you think and how you think. It's been said, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Those are true words, folks. It all begins with what you think, how you're thinking. That's the reason that Bible says that we are to think upon heavenly things, things of virtue, things that are true, things that are honest. Why? Because how we think means everything in this world. It controls our actions. It controls how we see things compared to how God sees them. And so to have a biblical worldview means that you allow God to control your thoughts through His Word. So in order to develop a worldview, we must read our Bible. But then also to develop a biblical worldview, I should say, to develop a biblical worldview, we need to read our Bible. But also to develop a biblical worldview, we must have the mind of Christ. We must have the mind of Christ. In our opening passage there in Philippians chapter 2, it says in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And what that's saying is this, is we need, you know, as Christians, a person that first gets saved, he's not going to come down here and get saved and then stand up and all of a sudden he's thinking like Christ. He's not going to stand up and all of a sudden he has a biblical worldview. It doesn't work that way. 10 minutes ago, the man couldn't even understand spiritual things. He couldn't even discern spiritual things. So he's not going to have a biblical worldview. But would you agree that as our Christian starts to grow, and the more he grows, the more he's conformed to Christ, and the more he's conformed to Christ, he should be having more of a biblical worldview than what he had, let's say, a year from now, a year from when he got saved. He should start thinking about things a little bit different than the way he did the day he got saved. Amen? That's just practical, folks. And the person that's been saved for years and years and years and years, if they've been growing in Christ the entire time, reading their Bible the entire time, listening to preaching the entire time, they should be thinking things from a biblical worldview. I mean, they shouldn't still be thinking things from a worldly perspective. And so that's what we need to do. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Now, how did Christ think? I mean, when the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," how did he think? What was in his mind? Well, you'll notice one thing. Whenever you read through the Gospels, there's one thing that's absolutely constant about the way Christ thought. And you know how that is? Let me tell you the main thing that was constant about the way he thought is that he always submitted to the Father's authority. He always, in fact, there are three things that you'll notice that he did. He did much, okay? But the three things that it is over and over and over is, one, he separated himself from people to go pray. He separated himself, he prayed, and he did the Father's will all the way up until the time he went on the cross. Amen? That's what he did. Does it make sense to you that maybe if we're going to have the mind of Christ, that we probably should be doing the same thing? That we should pray and seek to do the Father's will? You say, what is the Father's will? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's one. Here's another one. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen? I mean, we can go on and on and on. So that's what we're to do. We're to think like Christ. And so even Jesus said in Luke 22:42, he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." We are to have the mind of Christ. Now, that's how we're to think. That's how our worldview or our biblical view should be. And if we think like that, life would sure be easier. If we thought like Christ, if we had the mind of Christ, to where we prayed, expecting God to answer that prayer, and then be willing to do the will of the Father, always. And if we did that, if we continue to read our Bible and we continue to have the mind of Christ, you know how much easier life would be, how much less worried we would be. I mean, if you think about that. Now, I want to show you some benefits tonight from having this biblical worldview or reading your Bible and having the mind of Christ. I want to show you some benefits from that. So turn, if you would, over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Because when we read our Bible and when we have the mind of Christ, there are going to be some big advantages to that. Thinking the way Jesus thought. Big advantages. All right, Proverbs chapter 3. And look, if you would, at verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." Now, there are some big advantages to knowing your Bible and thinking like Christ. And the first advantage of doing that is going to be that if you read your Bible and you think like Christ and you have the mind of Christ, then it is going to give you peace during troubling times. Notice there in verse 5 it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding." You know, when bad things happen in the world, we often try to understand why those bad things happen, and we try to break it apart and try to figure out, you know, maybe if there's something I could have done different, and you know, or maybe it's my fault, or maybe this is a person's fault over here. And sometimes we get frustrated when we don't get the answer. But if we will look at things in lieu of the scriptures and according to how God sees things, and if you'll not be wise in your own eyes, and if you will not lean to your own understanding, you know how much more peace you're going to get? I mean, think about this. Rather than sitting there trying to overanalyze, why did this thing happen? You know, it isn't like, maybe the Lord will, maybe, you know, sometimes the Lord chastens us. Now, if you're looking at everything from a biblical worldview and you know you've messed up and you know you haven't confessed your sin, and all of a sudden there's a chastening happen, you know what's going on. I mean, you know he's chastening you. But let's just say, for instance, that you haven't messed up and you have been confessing your sins, but yet something bad still happens. If you look at it from Christ's point of view and from the biblical point of view, then you understand that he who lives godly lives will be persecuted. We know that. I mean, if you live a godly life, you're going to be persecuted. We also know that because of sin, bad things happen. Amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. Sicknesses happen. Deaths happen. Why? Because of sin. And so we don't have to sit there and think about why this happened. What we can do is look at it and say, you know, it happened. The Bible said things like this would happen, but the Bible also says that God's in charge, and the Bible says that I can call upon God and he can help me and he can comfort me during this time. You see, that's the advantage you have of having a biblical perspective of things. In other words, rather than sitting there and worrying yourself sick about what's going to happen tomorrow, understanding that God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen? And so that's the advantage that you have by looking at things from a biblical perspective rather than a worldly perspective. I'll tell you this, folks, I can't even imagine being a Christian who never reads his Bible and has to go out into the world and seeing the wicked things going on in this world and having no clue why they happen at all. It would drive me crazy. But from a biblical point of view, you understand that men have to wax worse and worse before we get to the end. Things have to get worse before things will get better on this earth. Knowing that when we see crooked politicians, that there is one coming, that when he comes and rules and reigns, there will be no crooked politicians anymore.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty comforting to me. Amen? I mean, it is. And when I see people doing wicked things, I know this, it will not always be like that on this earth. I know it won't. I know for 1,000 years it's going to be really good on this earth.
Amen.
And it's coming. I also know this. I also know that no matter how bad it gets on this earth, for me personally, if my heart stops tonight, I know exactly where I'll be.
Amen.
See, that's a biblical worldview. That's the reason the Bible says that we're not to get entangled in the things of the world. Why? They don't matter. I mean, bad things are going to happen. But can you imagine being a Christian who never reads his Bible, who never comes to church, who never listens to preaching, who doesn't really know God at all outside of, he got saved, but he never reads his Bible. Can you imagine him trying to put the puzzle together with the things happening in this world today without having a biblical worldview? I can't even imagine that. And so we can have peace knowing that one of these days that we'll be free from the wickedness of this world. And that gives me great comfort. I'll tell you another advantage of having the mind of Christ and reading your Bible, having a biblical worldview, and that is doing so will give you direction in your life. In Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 6, it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Isn't it wonderful to know where you're headed tonight? I mean, isn't that just wonderful? And I'm not talking about being able to say with a certainty, you know, what's going to happen, you know, 10 hours from now or a day or two from now. I'm talking about knowing that God's calling your life, knowing what he has planned for you, knowing that he has it all planned out, and all you really have to do is just acknowledge him and follow him, and he'll take care of it all. You know, a fellow once asked a preacher, he said, "How do I know I'm doing what God wants me to do in life?" And the preacher told him just to keep being faithful to the Lord and keep seeking his face, and if you do that, you are doing what God wants you to do in your life. That's true. And God has a way of guiding you exactly where he wants you to go, when the only thing you have to do is just be faithful. Now, isn't that a comforting thing to know? You know, think about this. The world today, or unfaithful Christians today, they're constantly wondering, what am I supposed to do? Should I do this? Should I do that? Oh, I just don't know. Boy, what happens if I go wrong here? What happens if I make the wrong mistake here? And sometimes, even faithful Christians sometimes fall into that. But the truth of the matter is if you'll just be faithful to the Lord and say, "Lord, direct my path, show me exactly where you want me to go, exactly what you want me to do," and you're faithful, you know what you'll find out? That God will take you exactly where he wants you to go. You don't have to worry about it, folks. You don't have to worry about it. That is, if you have a biblical worldview. God will direct your paths. And sometimes we get caught up too much wondering what God's ultimate plan is for our life. But the truth is, if we'll just wait upon the Lord and be faithful, he'll direct our paths. And we never have to worry about where he wants us to go. And I'll tell you this, it took me a long time to figure that one out. Because for a long time, I would try to steer the wheel myself. The whole time saying, "Lord, I've been praying, and Lord, show me which way to go." And then I try to steer it myself. And the Lord actually took me to a place to where I couldn't steer it anymore. He took me to a place that didn't matter which way I tried to steer that wheel, I was going one way. I could try to turn around, but I'm still going that one way. And he made it very clear to me that he's in charge, not Bob Crowder. It's good to know that if you'll trust in him, he'll direct your paths.
Amen.
He'll direct your paths. Another advantage of having the mind of Christ and reading your Bible and having a biblical worldview is that doing so will keep you from the evil way as well. Flip over one chapter to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 14. It says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat of the bread of the wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, I want you to think about this. In that passage right there, in those verses, he tells all Christians, everybody who's reading, who can discern spiritual things, which are Christians, he's saying, don't hang around with the wicked, because if you do, bad things will happen. Amen? I mean, that's basically what he's saying. If you hang around the wicked, bad things are going to happen. But you know how the world works it? The world, you know, you get a person who does not have a biblical worldview, who does not believe this Bible, who says, you know, I'm just not going to do what the Bible tells me to do. They will eventually learn the same thing, but they don't learn it from the Word of God. They learn it from experience. They hung around the wrong guy, and the next thing you know, that person's in jail because he hung around the wrong people. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's how the world works it. So the world's way is learned by experience. But what if you had a biblical worldview and you read that right there and you believed every word of it? And you say, you know what, I'm not going to hang around people to do things evil. Do you realize how much you just saved yourself a heartache by doing what the Bible says, by having a biblical worldview, by reading your Bible, by having the mind of Christ and saying, if this person's going to be wicked, I'm not going to hang around this person if he's going to be wicked, if he's going to do wicked things. I'm going to do what the Bible tells me to do. If they would just have a biblical worldview, if they would just read their Bible, if they would just read their Bible. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. If you'll understand what the Bible says about God, if you will strive to know God better and serve Him better, you will develop a fear for God. If you read your Bible, you will develop a fear for God. Amen? You will. If you will listen to preaching, you will develop a fear of God. And may I tell you that if you have a healthy fear of God, it will keep you from doing some of the things that you would do if you did not have a fear of God. Amen. Therefore, it will keep you from the evil way if you have a biblical worldview. If you have a biblical worldview of this, saying, you know, I could do this or I could do that, but I'm going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one of these days. That's a biblical worldview, folks. That's looking at things through what the Bible says. That's looking at things through the eyes of God. Because you, if you're saved, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody in this room will stand before the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved. Have you ever thought about how that's going to be? Have you ever thought about how that's going to go for you? I think about it every single day. I do, folks. I will say you this. When I make a decision, one of the first things I ask myself is, will I be able to stand before God one of these days and answer for this without being ashamed? I do. Because I tell you what, that day makes me nervous. Even if things go right, I mean, think about who you're standing before. You're standing before the Creator of the whole world. Who with just a word can destroy it or create it. And you're standing before Him. You're going to stand before Him one of these days. And you're going to answer for the works you did as a Christian. Now, I'm just going to tell you, that makes me nervous. Even if I go there and He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just me being in His presence, I'm going to be pretty nervous. Amen? What if you operate your life like that every day, saying, you know what? I'm going to have to stand before Him one of these days. And my knees are going to be knocking as it is. Maybe I ought not do this. It'll keep you from your evil way. But if you're not reading your Bible, If you're not hearing preaching, if you don't have the mind of Christ, how are you going to know those things? That's the reason, folks, I'm telling you, there will be a lot of Christians that they think everything's just great. Live your life. Do whatever you want to do. Just, you know, live any way you want to live. Live worldly. I mean, after all, once saved, always saved. You say, I don't believe Christians think like that. I think Christians think like that all the time. But boy, I tell you what, that day is still coming. And when that day happens, to where either the Lord comes back and gets us, or the Lord takes that person home, and then the next person they see is Jesus, and then the reality hits them that says, I'm going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for those times that I didn't go witnessing. Answer for those times that I lived like the world and did worldly things. Answer for those times that I should have been reading my Bible, but I wasn't, and I didn't know as much about God as I should have known. I wished I could go back and learn more, because it sure would have helped if I had that biblical worldview that one of these days I'm going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. A lot of Christians are going to be shocked. A lot of Christians are going to be caught by surprise. Why? Because they're not thinking the way they should be thinking. They're not having the mind of Christ. They're not reading their Bible. They're not spending time in the Word of God. They're not saturating their mind with it. And they really don't know God at all. A lot of Christians are going to be like that because they don't have the biblical worldview. Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Once we get to where we fear the Lord, we'll refrain from doing some of the things that we should not be doing. Job 28:28 says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. You see, the two go hand in hand. Let's face it, when you were growing up, if you knew, if your parents were standing right next to you, would you agree that you would probably not do some of the things that you would have done if they were not standing next to you? Amen? Think about this. Of all the things that you did wrong when you were growing up, and we all did things wrong, maybe not as much as me, but we all did some things wrong. But the things that you chose to do wrong, you probably waited till your parents were out of your sight, or at least out of your reach, before you did it. Amen? In other words, you aren't going to say, you know what, stealing's wrong. And while your dad's looking at you, you just go over and steal it and say, I'm stealing this, have a nice day. You're not going to do that. Amen? Why? Because you had a fear for your parents. If I steal that in front of him, he's going to whack me upside the head, or he's going to do this, or he's going to do that. You know? You had a fear for your parents. But you know, Christians today, for some reason, they don't have that fear for God. Whenever you read about the fear of God, you'll notice that departing from evil is somewhere close to there all the time. If you don't believe it, look up the phrase fear of God and see how close the phrase is departing from evil. It's always within a verse or two. Fear of God. Why do you think that is? Because if you actually had a fear of God, then you wouldn't do the things. You know, you've heard me give the example before. Would you do what you do if Jesus Christ were standing right next to you in the flesh? Why wouldn't you? He is with you all the time. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But yet Christians have an idea where they can just do anything they want to do. But why? They don't have a fear of God. And so if you have a fear of God, it will certainly help you to depart from evil. And then also, it'll result in a healthier life. Back in Proverbs chapter 3, look if you would at verse 8. It says, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You know, the Bible tells us how to live healthy lives, and it tells us how we can live longer. It actually tells you how you can live longer. How many of you know the verse that tells you how you can live longer? Tell me what that verse is, John. Where it says, and it's, yeah. If you want to live longer, the Bible says to obey your parents. To honor your parents. That's right. That's right. So it already told you how to live longer. Amen? But there are a lot of people who won't do that. Why? Because they don't really believe all the Bible. Well, I understand it says that, but I really don't think that means what it means. Oh, yes, it does. If it says it, it means it. Amen? And so we'll live a healthier life. We'll live longer if we do what the Bible tells us to do. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 says, "My son, forget not thy law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." If you just do things God's way and have a biblical worldview of things, you'll live longer and you'll live a healthier life. Why? Well, for starters, because it'll keep you from the evil way. Amen? I tell you this, folks. If people today, the things that they do that bring death and danger, it isn't what God says they're supposed to be doing. They're doing things on their own, and it brings danger. But if we do things God's way, it wouldn't be as dangerous. It would be healthier. We would live longer. We would live more peaceful lives. You know, if we did things God's way, we wouldn't have to worry about wondering whether the cops are going to knock on the door to arrest us at 3 o'clock in the morning. We won't have to worry about, hey, could I lose my life doing this or doing that if we're doing it God's way? But so many people today, they just think they can do it any way they want to. Turn over again to Proverbs chapter 4. I know we're kind of going back and forth. But in Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 20. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Why? "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." If you read the Word of God and you have the mind of Christ and you're obedient to the Lord, you're going to live healthier lives. And might I add, you're going to live a whole lot happier life, because it'll be clean. It'll be godly. It'll be a holy life. And boy, is it an adventure. How many of you agree tonight that when you're living right and you're doing what that Bible tells you to do, there is never a dull moment in your life? That's the truth. I remember I could tell you story after story after story of just seeing the Lord move and seeing the Lord operate and being able to see His handprint on things. Because just being close and in fellowship with the Lord, you're able to see those things. When you get out of fellowship with the Lord, you're not able to see those things because you have the wrong view. But when you're in fellowship with the Lord, you're able to see those things. You're able to see Him move in people's lives. And I could tell you story after story after story. The best thing I've ever seen, I know it seems silly, but I never will forget, we were up in Lincoln one time, and my pastor was a very big man. Some of you know Pastor Roach. He was a pretty big man. And we were camping out. We had did a family camp. And he ripped his pants. And he didn't have any others to wear. And so he gets in the truck and he says, "Bob, come with me." And I came, and we drive back to Lincoln. And it's on the 4th of July. Nothing is open in Lincoln on the 4th of July, because they're going to have parades and everything, the whole town shut down. I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm going to go buy myself a pair of jeans." I said, "Well, they ain't going to have anything open. There's no chance of anything being open. You can't buy a pair of jeans." He goes, "I prayed about it. I'm going to get me a pair of jeans today." So we drive, and we go through town, and sure enough, everything's closed, and I'm just gloating. I'm saying, "I told you, everything's shut down. No jeans for you today." And as we're driving, the Lord is my witness, a truck pulls over with a topper on it. He pulls over to the side of the road, and while we're stopped somewhere, and I'm sitting there watching him, and he starts unloading. He puts out a table, one of those white tables like we got in the back, and he starts laying jeans on this table. Now, by this time, my mouth is open to about this far. I'm like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. But what's even worse is my pastor was a very big man. He probably couldn't find too many jeans of his size in Walmart. And I looked at him, I was like, "What? Guy's over there moving." And the whole time my pastor's like, "You see that, what that guy's doing?" And I said, "Yeah, but he's not going to have your size." He goes, "He'll have my size." And we drove over there. He gets out of the truck and he goes, "Hey," he goes, "are you selling these jeans?" "Yes, I'm selling these jeans." He goes, "Well, my size is this. Do you have any?" And he goes, "I happen to have one pair." And bought them right there on the spot. Folks, I'm telling you, when you're right with God, never a dull moment. Because I'm going to tell you something. That was all God that day. Amen. Never a dull moment. Have a biblical worldview. Because it's going to bring you more peace. It's healthier. You're going to have a fear of God. You don't have to worry about where this world's going. You already know where this world is going. And you know it's not going to be bad for very much longer before it starts getting better. And what's even better than that is even if it does last a while of being bad, you know where you're going to go when you take your last breath. And you know that when you, and once you go and you take your last breath and you're in the presence of the Lord, the next time you see this world, you'll be with the Lord when he comes back to rule and reign. And things are going to be so much better. Amen? That's the advantage of having a biblical worldview rather than just a worldview, having a biblical view. Let's make sure we have a biblical view. Stay in your Bibles. All right. Let's go ahead and stop there tonight, and we're going to